Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is Nerd Nuptial Episode 69. And what we're talking about today is War of the Planet of the Apes.
We've been waiting a long time for this one.
So long for this one. And we saw this was coming. And this was the movie I was excited for this year. Like, this was this year's movie for me.
Okay.
And I really like that we're talking about War of the Planet of the Apes because the first episode ever of the Nerd Party, before the Nerd Party was even a network, when the first show, and it was just one show that I hosted with Matt Hansen, and it was called the Nerd Party, the first episode was a review of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Wow. Yeah, that's a long time ago.
And so this was quite a benchmark.
Now we're here.
Now we're talking on a different show, and we're now a network with about 10 shows. And so everybody should go to thenerdparty.com and check us out, because there's a show for everybody on this network. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thenerdparty. You can find us on Twitter at joinnerdparty. And join in on all the fun. And also, if you like this show, because if you're listening to this show, you either found us online, you found us on blogtalkradio.com, or you're a longtime subscriber, whatever it is, if you like what you hear, please give us a review on iTunes. And if you give us a 5-star review, we'll mention you on the show.
Absolutely. So go do it.
Now, before we start talking about the review, if you're new to the show, the reason why it's called Nerd Nuptials is because it's about us. It's about our marriage. It's about our nuptial through a nerd lens. And so yesterday I could tell the baby, Ripley, was stressing you out. right when I came home, I was like, oh, this has been a war zone today.
Yeah, you can always tell when, like, there's toys everywhere. It's like I've tried to, like, chuck every single toy I can't imagine at her, and nothing's really worked.
It's absolutely true. And so, like, right when I came home, I was just like, okay, I'm taking my girls out, so let's go out.
Yeah.
And so we're driving, and we go to a mall. There's tons of malls near us.
Yeah.
That's one benefit of living in the Chicagoland area. It's just like everything is within driving distance. And so we find one that we like, and we're like, okay, let's go to this Italian place. And so as we walk in, there's this bunch of kids. There's like three or four kids playing with a revolving door. And then we go up to the front desk. You actually say something to me.
Oh, yeah. I was like, Tristan, those kids look exactly like the twins from Big Little Lies. And they were twins. They were like two little boys.
Twin
and
boys,
I was like, that looks so much like them. I was like, this is weird. Like, I was like, and I like pointed, like, before we like got sat down, I was like, look, like.
Yeah, you kept tapping.
Yeah,
you're like, look.
I was like, those kids look exactly like those kids, right? And you were like, wait, those are like, really look like those kids.
Like, I said, I was like, those could be those kids.
Right. And then we went to our table, because I didn't want to be like those people. They're like, an adult comes up, like these unsupervised kids, and be like, hey, little kids, were you in Big Little Lies?
Yeah. Like, are you in the movies?
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Like, yeah, you don't want to be that creepy person.
No, no. So we sat down, which was interesting. And then later on, like, actually today, I was just like, I wonder if it was those kids. So I, like, took note of one of their names because they were, like, talking to each other. And then I, like, Googled them, and I was like, oh, my gosh, it was them. And I also, like, was kind of a creeper, I'm not going to lie. And I, like, went on Instagram, and I saw that someone had, like, taken a picture with them, like, at the mall.
Mm-hmm. At the mall
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, my gosh, it really was them. So, like, I confirmed it, yeah.
Yeah, you Instagram stalked them.
But I was kind of, like, proud of myself that I recognized them, because I don't think you necessarily, like, I don't think people would just naturally, like, see little kids and be like, oh my gosh, those are the kids.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's. You know what I was very proud of you too, because I saw them and didn't think about it. Uh-huh. I just saw them. I was like, oh, these are some annoying kids playing with a revolving door.
They were annoying.
No,
it's just because you're an old man.
I am an old man, but you know, it's like it's not like when you're walking around, you're like, holy crap, that's Edward Norton. I've seen him in 16 movies.
Right.
It's you notice these little kids who were in one six episode TV show that we watched, you know, like,
I was proud of myself.
You should be proud of yourself. And but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that was interesting. We have no idea why they're in the Chicagoland area, but here we are. So yeah, I've been looking forward to this all year because I talk about this movie series a lot because I think this is a highly underrated movie series. And I think it's, I tell this story a lot about how when the trailers came out, I wasn't really interested because Tim Burton's was such a blah. And I knew nothing about the director, and I was just like, eh, you know, whatever. Got it on Redbox, loved it, started evangelizing about it, telling everybody to go see it. And then Dawn comes out, and that's just as good, if not better, than Rise of the Planet of the Apes. And so with War, we knew going into that this was going to be the last one. And I love Andy Serkis. I love the story. I love the Planet of the Apes movies. You love the Planet of the Apes movies.
Absolutely.
We're both really into this movie series as well as the originals.
Mm-hmm. The franchise.
And also, it added some extra weight because Matt Reeves, the director of Dawn and the director of War, not the director of Rise, because that's a different person, he is going to be directing. His next picture is the next Batman film. The next DCEU Batman film with Ben Affleck. And originally, Ben Affleck was going to write and direct it. And then he pulls out from directing, saying he can't be the Batman and direct at the same time. Which, when I first heard it, I was like, this is corporate speak for they want to go in a different direction, or you want to remove your name from it because you've had a horrible batting average for the past couple of films. But then the more that I think about it, being on set and being in that costume constantly.
Yeah, that'd be rough.
That would be rough to try to be a director and be in a superhero outfit the entire time.
Yeah.
And I think logistically, yeah, you know, I get it. I do. Yeah. I get it. But then I was like, okay, well, we're going to see what a Ben Affleck script was going to look like. Well, just a couple days ago.
They threw out the script, right?
Yeah, Matt Reeves said, he's like, no, threw out the script, starting over. And some people, like, actually started telling some friends that, and like their gut reaction was like, uh-oh. You know, like, oh, that's trouble. The trouble on in the Batman franchise. And I'm like, I don't think so. I see it as a good thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, if something wasn't working, wouldn't it be better to throw it out at the script writing phase than like
try to fix it in post?
Exactly.
And also,
or
like,
go reshoot.
If this director is going to come in and he's going to bring his own vision, I want him to bring his own vision. I don't want him to come on to somebody else's if it's clearly not working.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said.
Yeah.
And also with Matt Reeves, you know, knocking it out of the park with Dawn, and then the like War of the Planet of the Apes has been a critic's darling.
Mm.
You know, like people are loving this film.
Mm-hmm.
I started looking for things. Like as I was watching War of the Planet of the Apes, I was like, okay, how could this translate to a Batman film?
Really?
Like what?
Were you even paying attention?
I was paying attention. I was just kind of like, you know, like how could this, you know, like this shot selection or these themes or this tone or this, you know, like the character arc and everything like that. Like, how could this translate to Batman?
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea. Like, I didn't really come up with any solid answers. But so enough preamble. We've been talking for about 10 minutes. Let's just go ahead and go into this because this is probably going to be spoilery. Right off the bat.
Yeah.
We'll give our first impressions, then we'll go into spoiler territory like we normally do. So, how about you? What did you think of it?
I felt it was very depressing.
Very depressing?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, there wasn't a lot of hope. It was hard to watch, most of it.
Really?
I felt like it was hard to watch.
Well, what makes you say that?
It was just really depressing. Like, I found a lot of it really hard to watch. Like, I felt like, I guess I was having a hard time enjoying it because I felt like it was just so, like, there was just so much death.
Oh, okay. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was so dark, it was so depressing that you couldn't even enjoy it. Because there are films out there that we watch that are dark and depressing.
I know that, but it was just... I don't know. Maybe I need to watch it again, but I thought I would like it more than I did.
Okay. I get that.
How about you?
Well, I kind of want to get a firmer answer out of you. So are you saying you did not like this film?
I think it's my least favorite of the three.
Okay.
Yeah.
You still...
I think that it makes a good trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie was not enjoyable for me to watch.
Okay. All right. That's interesting.
There was many times when I don't know if I can take this. There was several times in the movie where I was like, should I go to the bathroom now? Like, no, seriously. There were several times in the movie like that.
Okay. Well, we'll hold on to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that because I want to explore that. But we'll probably have to get to spoiler territory to talk about that.
How about you?
I thought it was a great film.
Okay.
I thought it was a great film, but at the same time, I'm kind of a little bit in your camp. Not as much as you.
Okay.
But I'm a little in your camp where I'm just like, I did not enjoy this as much as I thought I was going to.
Okay.
Just like you.
Okay.
But that's a hard thing because this was set at such a high bar.
Mm-hmm.
That I kept trying my hardest because I knew I was like, I don't want to set this up to fail. I don't want to set this up to fail. I don't want to go in thinking this is going to be Citizen Kane and then have it fall short because I've done that with so many movies lately because I'm just so exposed to everything online, constant, whether it's crap or it's good. You know, like seeing that so many critics are loving it,
mm-hmm.
and it's great.
Well, that kind of, it changes your view.
It does.
When you see that.
It actually does. And also, like, seeing the trailers, and we tried to limit our trailer intake on this one, I got super excited. Like, I got chills every single time I saw the trailer, because
mm-hmm.
I was so excited for
it. And then we stopped watching trailers, because we were like, okay, we're just
they started showing too much. Too much.
Yeah.
And so, I thought I did a good job of tempering myself,
mm-hmm.
where it's just like, it's okay if it falls flat, or if it's okay if certain things don't reach my expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to recognize that this is a well-made film,
mm-hmm.
that all the pieces are there, the performances mm-hmm. were great. I didn't really dig on the music that much.
No, some of it felt a little out of place.
Yeah, it was a little out of place. I feel like Giacchino is hit or miss for me.
I think he's a little overrated now.
I
thought he was great at the beginning, but I feel like he's a little overrated now.
Yeah, I think so too. I feel like too many people are worshiping Giacchino when he's just kind of, okay. But the music... There were certain times it took me out of it. Like, I could see what he was trying to do. He was trying to reference the original movies without... Like, he was using some of the same instruments mm-hmm. and the same feelings. But at certain times, it felt out of place for a modern movie.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. That's neither here nor there. I was nowhere near as depressed as you.
Okay.
I was nowhere near as joyless as you. Like, this was clearly darker.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
This was heavy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, you know... apes were getting whipped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, we're gonna get into spoiler
territory
here.
Yeah, let's get into spoiler territory.
Okay, so
can you just give your overall?
My overall is this is a good movie.
Okay,
this is a solid movie, but it's my least favorite of the three.
Okay,
I'm with you. I'm with you. I thought I was going to enjoy it more, but I still think it's a good film.
Okay,
and it's well made.
I would completely agree. Like, I recognize that it's a good film,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know. It was hard to get through for me.
I get it. Okay, so there we go. So, like, we gave you our impressions, this is what we thought of the film. I definitely think you should go see it. This is worth seeing in the theater.
Yeah.
If you're on the fence, definitely go see it, because we love it when people make their own minds and make their own judgments. So here we go, spoiler territory. So you were talking about certain things. We're like, oh, should I go to the bathroom right now?
Because
this is going to be rough or something like that. What are some moments where you felt like, oh, this is just not enjoyable?
Well, I think when we were... I mean, I think it always redeemed itself, but there were moments like with torture, like... When the ape
in the prison camp
moments, I think
it was an orangutan.
He he was getting whipped,
mm-hmm.
and I was just like, ugh, I didn't want to deal with it. Like,
I actually went to the bathroom during that scene.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
I forgot that.
I was just like, oh, this is gonna be rough. I'll go, like, this could last a bit. But then I got sad when I came back when you told me, like, oh, you know, like, Caesar stood up for him and everybody rallied behind him.
That's right.
I was like, oh, crap, I missed that.
Okay, yeah. No, I think there were just a lot of moments of, like, oh, I mean, it made me feel something. And mm-hmm. I felt like it did a good job. But maybe I just wasn't in that mode of wanting that movie. Like, I kind of wanted a little bit more of a, maybe I wanted more of a physical war between the apes and the humans.
I get that.
Maybe more strategy from their end versus, and maybe more wins for the apes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that, you know, again, like we're in spoiler territory, but, you know, they ultimately get away,
right.
You know, and they get to the promised land. It was very biblical in that way, you know. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there could have been – I feel like it could have been a better movie if we had maybe – I guess they were trying to show that the apes just were totally the good guys and, you know, the humans were just all bad and after them or whatever. And, you know, it felt like – we were trying to show, like, oh, the apes would never hurt anyone, you know. Mm. I feel like, well, no, you guys are at war, and they are planning to be at war. Like, I just wanted more of more attacks. Like, I wanted more of, like,
okay,
almost like a hunting type of the humans. Because I'm already on the – if you're following the franchise, I'm already on the side of the apes.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of wanted more from their perspective.
I get that completely, because this is not the movie I thought we were going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that could play into certain people's perspectives and how they interpret certain things, because this movie, while I was watching it, I was like, this is a war film.
Yeah.
Like, this is not just, oh, they're tacking on the word war and just because things are going to get intense. No, this is a war film. Like, there was battles at the beginning,
mm-hmm,
there was evasion, there were assassins, you know, mm-hmm, there were parlays, there were
traitors,
there were going behind enemy lines,
mm-hmm,
you know, there was a prison break, it mm-hmm turned into you know, like a Steve McQueen escape movie.
Right,
you know, like it shifted gears pretty hard, like it moved into a war film, into a prison break, not prison break, but like a prison camp,
right, right,
you know, film, mm-hmm, and everything like mm-hmm that. And so It was much darker and more sardonic than I expected it to be. About, because I thought it was going to be, how do I put this? I thought it was going to be more patriot and less Braveheart.
Yeah, yeah. I like that comparison. Yeah, I agree. And I guess we had just to prepare. We had just watched Dawn the night mm-hmm before to prepare, and I don't know, in my mind, just going straight from, maybe I needed a little bit more, like, either we pick up right there.
Right from Dawn?
Right from Dawn, or we have a little bit of peace and, you know what I'm saying, like, before we get right into the horror of it.
Because they said, like, we started 2 years later,
mm-hmm,
and so apparently it's been 2 years of war mm-hmm with this colonel.
Right. So, I mean, that just feels... I don't know. I guess it just was a little too much negativity.
You felt you were saddened because these apes have gone through so much.
Right. Right.
Yes, I get that.
And you didn't really give them very many wins. Even like, I kind of wanted to see them, like, okay, they've obviously become smarter.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of wanted to see them strategize more and fight more.
Yes, I really wanted to see that too. Yeah, mm-hmm, because, you know, when we at the beginning, when that first battle happened, when the humans ambushed the trench
mm-hmm
that the apes built, and then all of a sudden the apes came out of nowhere with their horses and started throwing smoke bombs.
Yes.
I was like, oh, they developed better weapons than just spears.
Right, right.
That's really cool.
Well, and then when, like, the one ape went and then all the other apes on horseback come, mm-hmm, I was like, ah, oh, yeah, like, this is what I'm looking for, is, like, okay, he's got all of his troops behind him. And but then that was pretty much the end of that, right?
That was pretty much the only battle we got. Yeah, it's true, because, yeah, I thought we were going to see more, and no pun intended, I thought we were going to see more guerrilla warfare.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like we were going to see, like you said, more strategy, more,
right,
you know, like, see Caesar as a tactician.
Right, right.
Like, I'm going to move my troops from the east over here and flank them, and I'm going to move these guys over here and infiltrate them here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought it was going to see something of a little bit more of an organized war.
Right.
And this felt more like an escape. Like, mm-hmm, they were just, it felt like they were trying to hide from the war.
Yes, instead of
fully engage.
Yes, that's how I felt too. And I don't know, maybe it would have felt better if they were more into the war. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it was Caesar just trying his... I think...
Peace.
It's like Caesar is a reluctant general.
Right. Right.
He doesn't want to be a general. He just wants to lead his people. Mm-hmm. He wants to stay in peace. And like, that's why he let those people go. And when he let those people go at the beginning, I was like, I wouldn't have. Like, they're going to figure out where you are.
Right, right.
And exactly. That's what happened.
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, well, actually, the betrayal of the...
Winter.
Of the white gorilla, yeah, Winter. Yeah. Is what happened there. Yeah. But what did you like about it?
I thought the performances were amazing, as always. You know, like, the motion capture is just...
The motion capture is out of this world.
Amazing.
Like,
amazing.
The CGI integration has gotten so much better over the years, from Rise to Dawn to War. It's gotten better every single time. There was really only, like, a few times when I could tell, oh, this is, like, you get that weird CGI shadowy glare.
I hardly ever see it in these films.
Seriously, like, this is next level stuff, because there were so few times I was taken out of the film. Like,
I understand what you're saying.
I was able to get lost.
Yes.
In them. And I feel like this film, what this film achieved that the better than what the other ones did, even though they did it well, was immersion. You were along for the ride. You were with this story. You forgot you were watching apes. And I know I've probably said that about the past two movies, but this one even more so.
Oh, yeah. I completely agree. I liked, you know, they always give you some of those Easter eggs of the original movie, like with the Nova character.
And his second son being named Cornelius.
Which was neat. I liked that a lot. What did you think about the whole plot of humans kind of losing speech and... like affecting them?
I thought it was really cool, but then I also thought it was unnecessary.
I felt the same way.
I felt like...
And over-explained, maybe, slightly?
Maybe, because... I'm trying to rectify it, because they were obviously trying to tie it into the original Planet of the Apes, because we've said for years that these movies can... and do exist in the original Charlton Heston timeline. Well before Zira and Cornelius go back in time and create a new timeline. So this is the Chuck Heston storyline, not the Zira and Cornelius storyline. I thought it was like, oh, cool. You know, they don't speak. You know, oh, it's because the virus is mutating. That's really interesting. But I'm like, not necessary, because so much time... is like from Caesar's storyline to Cornelius's storyline, centuries are in between them.
But I don't know if that's the case in this timeline. If let's say Cornelius is the Cornelius.
Oh, it's not.
Okay.
I don't think they were saying that in the least.
Okay. Because maybe it's just like a family name.
It's just a family name or something like that. It's really
Easter egg just to like,
it's
there you
just
go.
A nod. Okay. It's not like that's Nova.
Okay.
It's not like,
No, I never thought that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But no, that's not Cornelius, right. Because Cornelius, like, because they were talking about how they have forgotten so much of their history. They have forgotten where apes came from. They have forgotten that apes were in zoo.
That's true.
They thought God made ape in his own image.
Well, and also, I mean, I feel like it's more believable that humans just have lost, like, they lost that learning. Like, I don't necessarily think that they needed, like, something else to cause them to lose speech. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, no. That's what I was
but
thinking,
But I did,
too.
Like, I did kind of appreciate the fact that they were trying to explain it. Does that make sense? I liked and didn't like it.
I think where I'm at is it's very respectful of the original. Mm-hmm. It's very cool tie-in. I don't think it was needed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's still cool.
Yeah.
I'm kind of down the middle. Like, if they took it out, I would be like, I'm not missing anything.
Mm-hmm.
I like that too. One thing I was very underwhelmed by, and I was surprised by, I was underwhelmed by this, was the Colonel.
Me too. I was just thinking that. I was going to ask you what you thought of his performance and everything.
He's a very lackluster bad guy.
Yes. And way too much was just explained in that room.
This movie had a lot of exposition.
Yes.
Think about that opening scene when he's talking, when Caesar's talking to the captured soldiers. Like, hey, just in case you didn't see the first two movies.
Right, right.
Here's the lowdown. Even though you just saw in the opening credits an explanation via text, I'm going to read that text to you.
Right, yeah. That's
like,
true.
Ooh, like that was bad writing at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get this hardcore exposition between the Colonel and Caesar about the about the virus mutating, which I was fine with, and I thought that was a that scene was okay. Like, I thought Woody Harrelson's performance was great when he was talking about shooting his own son. I was like, that's a good performance. But
I don't think it was necessary though. Even though like did we need
to know that stuff? I don't.
And I also think coming off of Dawn, where we had you know, a similar, you know, situation where, okay, like, you did this to me, like, the you know, the flu did this to me, and, you know, it was a similar situation where, I don't know, it just felt like we might be kind of repeating ourselves a little bit in this idea of, like, there's this one guy who's in charge of everyone, and I don't know, like, he's up in the tower. It just felt like, I don't know.
It didn't feel repetitive to me.
No.
'Cause I liked the whole... oh, this guy has gone off the reservation. I mean, it's...
That's true. I did like that idea.
It was it's an Apocalypse Now reference.
Yes, it is.
About this guy, you know, going against his orders, getting his own men, and going AWOL. They even had...
I know, I saw that.
The Apocalypse Now. I thought
spell
that was,
it out for you.
That was a bit on the nose, folks. But so I like that was a little separate. Like, he's not actually a part of the human military anymore. Like, he's not a part of the human resistance because he's too crazy. He's too scary. And so even the humans are rejecting this person. I liked that. I thought that was very interesting. But there was just something about that not rivalry isn't the right word, but the enemy relationship, I feel like, could have been fleshed out a little bit better between Caesar and the Colonel.
Well, I don't know about you, but I kept getting confused. Like, there was one time where he's like, had a gun to his head, and there's another time, like, they put him up, you know, string him up, and then there's another time, well, Caesar, and then another time where they're like, okay, well, if he makes the night, it was just a lot of, like, let's see if he lives, well, now put him to work. I don't know, it's like, if this Colonel wanted to be evil, like, he couldn't decide what to do with Caesar. Did you feel that at all? Or no?
Yeah, I don't know.
No?
That didn't bother me as much.
Okay.
It felt pointless.
Okay.
To me.
The rivalry between Caesar and the Colonel, or just not fleshed out enough?
I don't think it was fleshed out enough. Okay. I think there should have been more conversations between the two of them, but shorter.
Okay.
Like, not as long as that one big ass conversation where he's talking about shooting his son and talking about the exposition about the mutation of the virus. I feel like there needed to be more cat and mouse between the two of them in the film. The way that it was presented, it was, oh, there's this phantom guy and he kills my family, and then so I need to go find him, and then he finds him, and then they have one conversation between the two of them, and then he just kind of strings him along.
Well, I think it would have helped if there was more of the war.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what I wanted.
You know, maybe there was like a conversation where they actually talked about peace. Like, Caesar actually had a conversation with him. And, you know, it was more of like, okay, we're meeting together and we're talking about it. And then we go back to our sides and, you know, like, and then we fight. You know, that kind of situation.
Yes.
Where, does that make sense? Where we're kind of... there is more of that cat and mouse, like, okay, well, I've captured you, but I don't have all your people. Well, now I have all your people. You know, there needs to be some type of situation like that.
I think you hit it on the head. I think the prison camp is a good idea, but I think it took away from other potential in the movie about getting, like, if they wanted to explore the relationship between the Colonel and Caesar, they shouldn't have done the prison camp. And if they did want to do the prison camp, they should have made the movie The Prison Camp. And it just...
I don't know who would want to see that movie.
That movie's been done, and it's been done well.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, it's just one of those situations where I feel like either we spent too much time there, or I feel like it needed to be more war.
Yeah, I'm with you because I know I mentioned this before when I said it was like I was expecting more Patriot and we got more Braveheart, but I'm like, that's not a one-to-one. So I'm not trying to say this movie is Braveheart.
No.
I'm just giving
in tone and in I understand what you're saying.
You get what I'm saying. Like, and I'm just using two Gibson movies as a comparison because in The Patriot, you know, Mel Gibson's son gets shot in front of his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but there's nothing he can do about it with the guy
right.
in front of him.
Right, otherwise everyone else would die.
Right, and so he tries to find this guy, he tries to go after him, and then there's a situation where he has to get his people out of confinement.
Mm-hmm.
And so he trades prisoners, he quote-unquote trades prisoners, and then this guy tries to goad him, and then Gibson goes up to him and says, before this war is over, I'm going to kill you.
Right.
And then he walks away, and then they have an epic battle between the two of them at the end.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was expecting.
Me too.
Between Caesar and the colonel. And we didn't get that at all. And even at the end, I felt like it was a very fizzled out.
Well, Caesar didn't really... because that disease had taken over.
Right. I feel like the disease robbed Caesar of a real choice. Now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. That moment is a great moment.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about burying hate. Mm-hmm. It's about forgiveness. It's about moving on. It's about acceptance. It's about realizing what's right and what's wrong. That is a great moment. Don't get me wrong.
And it's a good message. Like it shows that, you know, Caesar is a good ape. I was gonna say good man, good ape, you know.
Thematically
he wants
it's amazing.
Good. He wants peace. He wants, mm-hmm. you know, he doesn't want to kill,
mm-hmm.
but he's, you know, this hate and this revenge.
But from a enemy relationship perspective, that felt very disjointed from what we were leading up to.
We were promised.
What we were promised from the movie and what we were leading up to. It was very, you know, it was an odd choice.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this movie is that. It's, we were promised one thing. Even I'm not even talking about the promotional materials. I'm just talking about watching the film. We were promised one thing.
Mm-hmm.
They build to it, and then they throw something at us differently. And sometimes it worked because they subverted our expectations out of the audience. We were like, oh, thank you, Matt Reeves. You're keeping me on my toes.
Mm-hmm.
And then other times it's like, that's not what you should have done. That's not what you were building towards, but okay, that's fine. And I feel like that was one of those moments where thematically amazing, but it didn't feel like it didn't feel appropriate for this film or in that moment.
Okay.
I'm going back and forth. Like, this movie is just...
Well, it's just clear that you feel conflicted.
I'm very conflicted by this, the dichotomy of it. Because, and like I said, I'm not trying to bash that moment. Because it's a great moment.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that there's something too, like, okay, well, you know, the thing that he was killing his own people over and he killed his own son over now has taken him,
mm-hmm.
you know, like that's revenge in itself,
right.
you know, it's an own way. And, but, you know, at the same time, it's like,
I feel like we could have had that moment.
Yeah.
As well as a fight or a build where maybe he's chasing after the colonel and Colonel's trying to get away. Or maybe like the colonel is like, I'm just thinking of my feet here, but like maybe the colonel realizes that he's getting sick. And so Caesar's chasing after him. And like, there is just bloodlust in Caesar's eyes. And then somehow he falters or he gets sick or we see him debilitate as he goes on. And then that's when Caesar makes the decision. But to just stumble upon him that way, I think that's what bothered me.
Okay, so you're thinking that like, it needed more build there, to get to that point.
Yes. I like that moment.
Okay.
I like that.
So keep that moment.
Keep that moment, but yet build to that moment instead of just Caesar happening on him. Like, there needs to be more conflict between the two of them.
Yeah, and yet, from a character standpoint, like, if he was racing after him and he was, you know, we knew that he was... you know, not doing well, that takes something away from Caesar's character. So it's like...
I don't think so.
No?
No.
I don't know.
maybe I'm not explaining myself well. Maybe I'm not explaining myself well. But regardless...
I really liked that, you know, when we did go away where it was just Caesar, I did like that the core group followed him.
Mm-hmm.
And it would then it just became like about them, you know, and then when we regrouped with the larger group, I liked that a lot.
Yeah.
I liked Bad Ape.
I liked Bad Ape too. I felt like some of the slapstick comedy was a bit too much. Like
there wasn't much in this movie.
Well, I mean, no, like there were times like when I laughed at Bad Ape. Like he was the comedic relief. Sure, he was the one who was like, oh wow, this is a really heavy movie, so let's let them rest. Let's let the audience rest a little bit with Bad Ape. But there were certain times when I'm like, that's just stupid.
Oh, there was like one moment I remember where it was something very serious had happened. I can't remember. And
was it when he had
the binoculars?
Binoculars that when he had part. Them on backwards.
Yeah, where it's like not needed right now. No. But you knew exactly what they were trying to do. You were like, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, things are so heavy right now. We need something. And that's what they were trying to do. But it didn't kind of fell. But, it didn't really work.
Yeah. But like all the other times, really, when Maurice yelled at him and he's like, yes. Okay, all right, I'll go up.
Right.
You know, like that's funny.
Good.
You know, that was
yeah.
good stuff.
Yeah. When we first met him and everything mm-hmm. like that.
I was really appreciative that Rocket and Maurice survived.
Yes.
Because they easily could have killed
Rocket. I thought Rocket was gone.
I thought Rocket was gone too. And I was just like, oh, wow, they're going to let him live? Thank you so much.
Yeah. And then like when we passed the moment where I was like, that's when they would have killed him. I was like, oh, thank God.
Mm-hmm. Now, Caesar
mm-hmm.
didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that?
I think that it closes out that trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, like I said before, it kind of felt biblical. Like he saw them to the promised land, you know. And then,
Moses
was
not
Moses. Yeah.
Moses was not able to enter
exactly.
the promised land, but he was able to
he
take
was like,
them
okay,
to the promised
and I
land.
Saw them get there, and now I can rest.
I feel like a freaking moron because I didn't realize that until
you
said that just
that?
Now. No, I didn't realize that till just now. Read
your Bible, buddy.
that makes his death a little bit easier on me.
Oh, really?
I did not like that he died.
Oh, I saw it very much as a parallel between, like, I saw it as the Moses story. I felt like this was very Moses. It was very Egyptian leading them out.
Sephora survived, okay? Read your Bible.
No, you understand, but you are...
Moses' son survived.
Well, we can't have it all the same way. But, yeah, I saw it very much, though, that way.
That was not lost on me. Like the Exodus storyline,
mm-hmm. yeah,
you know, escaping.
Yeah.
And I mean, the avalanche was clearly
very
the
much
Red
like
Sea.
The Red Sea. Mm-hmm.
Clearly the Red Sea.
Right.
I thought this was very much Exodus, but for some reason at the end, I did not think about Moses not entering the promised land. And
okay.
when he got shot with the arrow, I was like, oh crap, he's going to die. And then they saved him, and we're like, oh, great, he's not going to die.
He survived the avalanche.
And then he goes up to the tree, and I was like, oh, man. I was like, there's no way that they're going to kill him in an avalanche. There's no way they're going to kill him.
Right, right, right.
And then he survives, and I'm like, okay, we're fine. But then he's sitting at the top with Maurice, and he's bleeding, and I'm like, oh, my God, he actually is going to die. You son of a bitch. Like, I was just like, I'm just like so angry because my emotions are going up and down.
Oh, no, I felt like, especially then, like, you know, staying at that tree, I was like, okay, yeah. I felt good about it. Like, I was good with it. Like, I felt emotional,
mm-hmm.
but I felt like it was time.
I...
Like, let him rest.
I did not want him to die.
Okay.
I didn't... Because I was because they gave us Rocket, they gave us Maurice,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, okay, you know, like, it's okay. Not every main protagonist in an epic film needs to die. Like, it doesn't have to be mm-hmm. Maximus, you know? It doesn't have to be William Wallace. but... I understood why they did it because, of, like you said, it closed the loops. It ends that trilogy. If he survived, people would constantly be saying, oh, there's probably going to be a fourth one then.
Right.
This one guarantees you that we're not going to see a fourth one, and I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understood it, but I didn't want him to die. But now that you've said that to me about Moses not going to the promised land,
yeah,
I am 100% okay with it now. Like,
well, I'm glad I helped you.
You did. No, seriously. Like, it was clear that this movie was Exodus.
That was his purpose, though.
Yeah.
Like, I really feel like it was his purpose was to get them out of captivity,
mm-hmm.
to secure a homeland, and that took three movies to do.
Yeah, it's true. Now I'm drawing all these parallels about like Ramsay the II and his son died and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was because of a plague.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. We can really, you should analyze it.
We, yeah. I
you
mean,
you should write like a blog about it.
Yeah. We, yeah.
Not
we,
that we have any time, but.
But no, we, yeah, we could spend another hour talking about this just on the biblical themes and, and how it's Exodus and everything like that. But yeah, I think you definitely helped me be at peace with the ending a little bit more. Not saying that it wasn't a good ending. I knew it was a good ending. It's just
you wanted Caesar.
I wanted Caesar to survive.
Yeah, you love Caesar.
I love Caesar. Yeah. As I was watching this, I was like, I think Caesar is one of my favorite characters.
Really?
I think he's right up there with Ripley, Maximus, the narrator. I honestly think he is one of my favorite.
Are you gonna ask us to name our child middle name Caesar?
Caesar? No, because it's a little Caesar means so many different things. You know, and means so many things to different people. Ripley, there's really only one or two things you could think about. But yeah, so this, I want to see this movie again. I thought this was a good movie, well made. I thought this was a great ending to the franchise. It's not the movie I expected it to be.
Mm-hmm.
I did not enjoy it as much as I thought I was going to. But I think I'm comfortable with giving it a 4 out of 5.
Really?
Yeah, I am. I mean, Rise and Dawn are 5 out of 5.
For you?
Yeah, okay. For me. They're 5 out of 5s. Maybe I could give it a 3.5. But there's just so many good things about it. And I think that one star is really because it's not the movie I expected it to be.
Okay.
But it's still solid for what it is.
No, I thought it was solid. There was a lot of moments where it was just hard for me to watch. I just was like, oof, it's painful. Now, that's okay. It was because it was a good film. I think that. But I don't know. I think I'm more 3.5.
3.5?
Yeah.
I get that. I was teetering on that. I was teetering on 3.5.
Yeah, because I feel like my enjoyment would have to be higher. And I don't think I'm anxious to watch this one again as quickly. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I am. I'd watch it tomorrow if I could.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. I really would.
I don't know.
I would. I would watch this tomorrow just to get another sense of it.
Okay.
Now that my expectations have either been met or mm-hmm. not met,
mm-hmm.
I'm able to push that aside and take it for what it is. I like doing that with a few movies where I'm just kind of that's not where it's unexpected.
Okay. I can see that.
Yeah.
I can. So that little girl is exactly how our little girl is going to look.
Yeah.
When I saw her come on screen, I was like, that's Ripley. That is Ripley at age whatever it was, probably 8 or whatever.
Her face shape is pretty much yours too.
Yeah. And it we don't have eyebrows like her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. This has been... This is a very, very thoughtful review. I feel like we kind of delved deep into this one. I mean, this one, I feel like our Baby Driver review was just pure fun. It was just laughing and scratching and, talking about how awesome Kevin Spacey is and and how a baby's a cold-blooded murderer.
Oh my gosh. No, he's not.
I got a few emails and tweets where people are saying you're a hipster for not liking Baby. I'm trying to be highfalutin or something that.
So
screw all of you who sent me those letters. Everybody was nice though. Everybody's nice. But with this one, it's just it's kind of hard to be jumping up and down and
It just wasn't. It wasn't a happy movie. Even the moment of joy where they make it, to the promised land, the land that they're going to live. It was shadowed by Caesar's death. Mm-hmm. So I think that's when you're coming out of it, you're kind of like, oh, I kind of want something happy now.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. actually, the night I was like, I don't know if I feel like watching
Rise
because it's too sad. Because I hate the moment where they leave him in the sanctuary.
Yeah, and he draws his window.
That part has to be one of the saddest movie moments ever.
And
I'm like, no, that doesn't even compare to War.
I was gonna say War is hell.
Yeah, seriously.
I was gonna say, I was like, Rise looks like a fun romp.
It does compared. Oh my gosh.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. I mean, we gave you all of our information at the top of the show, but please go to thenerdparty.com for all of our other episodes. Please subscribe, give us a review, and if you give us a 5-star review, we will mention you on the show. And next week. is Dunkirk, yeah. People. We're going to be watching Dunkirk in 70mm.
Pretty excited about that.
So please make sure to listen to us next week. And until then, I love you.
I know.
He's a smart one, isn't he? What are you going to name him?
Do they look like just apes to you?
He saved our lives.
He was remarkable.
Apes, apes, together! Strong, strong!
You're him. You're Caesar. We've been searching for you for so long.
I do not start this war. I fight only to protect apes.
Human gets sick, ape gets smart. Then human kill ape. But not me. I run.
There are times when it is necessary to abandon our humanity to save humanity.
You say eventually you'd replace us. That's the law of nature. So look what you've done.
What did the humans promise you? No matter what you do, you'll never be one of them. You are a...
We are the beginning!
Apes, together!
We are the beginning!
Apes, together, strong!
Have you come to save your apes?
I came for you.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.